What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the Current Era Mother Effing Pod. And today is Monday, so that means a brand new episode for you. Javar and I are back. We are going to discuss KD staying in Brooklyn. I know it's old news, but guess what? We haven't talked about it, so it ain't old to us, bitch. And also, we get to discuss the Donovan Mitchell trade. Utah has completely blown it up, and I absolutely love it. And so much more. Of course, we got to talk about the Lakers. It's a really good episode. Yeah, you guys are absolutely going to enjoy like you always do. So let's go ahead and get right to the episode.
All right, we are back. Javar, welcome back to the show, man. Another edition of the Current Era Pod. We have more NBA news to get to. Not a whole bunch of news, but relevant news nonetheless, man. How you doing over there? Let's get into it.
Doing good, man. Yeah, it's been a minute, so it's interesting to see, get your thoughts on some of this stuff. Big trade, at least, so.
Yeah. It's been about a month since we last talked on the pod, so it's crazy how much can happen in a month, but how little at the same time. It feels like just like a lot of major events, but not too many minor things. So I guess we can start with, you know, a chronological order. The biggest thing that's happened since last time we spoke is the Kevin Durant thing. You know, last time we talked, he was talking about that he still wanted to trade. He had just met with the ownership and said, hey, you got to choose between me and the coaches. But you know, a week later he came out and said, you know what, I'm staying, we're going to make it work. So what's your reaction to this, man? Cause this is huge. I mean, I know last time you thought that if this was the route that they would go, that it wouldn't work. Have your feelings changed?
I mean, not really. But they do have talent. So, yes. You know, I guess if, as long as KD is and everybody's just willing to let bygones be bygones, I guess they can just see what happens. But who knows, man? Maybe they'll be good and be the number one seed, and it's be one of those things where it's just weird. But they make it work because of the talent. But it seems like it's more so just short term.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's kind of just, you know, it was in a horrible situation, and it was basically, look, KD, you got 4 years, so what are you gonna do? You're not just gonna sit out. So how about this is how we try to go forward? Is just play it out. If something comes up or if it gets too crazy, we could try to pivot. But ultimately, the season is coming up, starting here soon. So they gotta pivot. They gotta save face, right? So
yeah.
What are your thoughts? I mean, this just seems like ultimately they're not gonna. I don't think they could win a championship with this type of friction and lack of kumbaya from the get go here. But there have been strange things that happened in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, man, so I was honestly surprised when I saw the news that he had decided to stay. Just because, like I said, like a week prior, he had a meeting with the owner and he was like, I want out still. But I mean, it is still just unprecedented that a player of his caliber with 4 years left to his deal would even ask for a trade. But ultimately, I do think that it's something that's still going to happen. I'm not sure how well KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons and the rest of those guys.
Ben Simmons, that is the elephant in the room. What is going on with Ben Simmons? and is that three? I still think that might be the reason why KD wanted out of there. I think he truly believed Ben Simmons just, you know, such a question mark that he don't want to have to be tied down to this you know window of contention. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know you don't have the answer, but even if he was just to come in and play like a baseline of how he used to play,
yeah,
I think that could be interesting. But I don't even know if he's. I mean, I think there's something mentally off with him, man. I don't know. Like, isn't he still completely off social media and just changed? Did a 180? He used to always be on. Now he's
yeah. I mean, but you could look at that as a good thing, though, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, that could be a positive if you're Brooklyn Nets. Maybe he's more focused. Maybe he cares more about the game. Maybe he's happy about the new situation that he's in. I mean, that'll have to, you know, be one of those things that we see once the season starts in about a week or so here. But, you know, there has been no news about him.
No, I haven't. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm not a Nets fan, but have you been seeing him in the, you know, in the practice facility? Is he around the team? Is he working out?
Yeah.
I mean,
you have seen videos?
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I haven't seen anything in a while. Okay.
Yeah. No. There's, you know, there's those annual videos of Ben Simmons making jumpers and threes and stuff like that. But like all that is really irrelevant. I mean, we need to see what he can do on an NBA court at the NBA level at this point. He hasn't played for a year and a half. So we've got to see what they can get out of him. But also, they've still got the whole Kyrie thing, because like they decided not to give him a new contract. I mean, at this juncture anyway. So, you know, I mean, Brooklyn is in such a weird situation.
It's so volatile, yeah. I mean, but you kind of feel like you know what you're going to get out of Kyrie on the court. Even if he's kind of aloof out there, he's going to get buckets and kind of just be out there. But, you know, Ben Simmons, if he's not a playable body, if he's not, you know, either healthy or mentally able to play, I mean, he sat out a whole year, man. Like, you don't really see that often, like healthy guys sitting out a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't really know what to get from out of him. And I don't know if they even like this guy. It's just something's off. Some mistakes.
So look, on paper, let's say Ben Simmons is decent in Brooklyn. Like he may not be an all-star level player anymore, but let's say that he's still a really good defender. He can still pass the ball well, but he's never going to be a shooter. He's never going to score 20 plus points a game. With KD and Kyrie, is that enough to win the East at least?
I mean, if KD is playing in his A game, they could really use a guy like Ben Simmons defensively if he's just like how he used to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and somebody that can actually playmake between Kyrie and KD. So I think his skills could be helpful there. Like, yeah, just in a perfect world, if he just played how he did with the Sixers, he could be really helpful. I don't think I think they're going to try to use him at the center and hope he could be like a Draymond Green type. I don't know if he's built like that, like to handle centers and bigs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, perimeter defensive line, they could have used him to help with Tatum in the first round for sure. And in the East, you know, you don't need guys to throw in Giannis, Tatum's, you know, Jaylen Brown's. So, you know, in a perfect world, yeah, he could help them. And he could help get the best out of KD and Kyrie, but it's just something might be off there, man. I don't know. That's just my intuition. There's really no huge basis on this. It's just, you know, some stinks over there.
So would you be surprised? This is just an offshoot question. Would you be surprised if Ben Simmons does come out and he's 20 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists? Like, would you be shocked?
I would be absolutely shocked because I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. I don't think he's really got it in him. I've kind of been, I won't say a hater, but just, you know, haven't been pressed on him like ever. So, so I never really thought he was as good. But like, yes, I'll be shocked if he comes out and does 27-7. He does have the talent, but
I agree.
He would, you know, there could be a world where he's getting like 20 points of garbage buckets and just, you know, getting open lanes because of Kyrie and KD and Joe Harris and whatever, all the talent that the Nets have. Seth Curry, exactly. So there's a world where he's just feasting. If he's actually hungry and want to play out there. So he could make, that's why I say he's the elephant in the room. If he actually cares and has like a fire in his belly, they could be a championship contending team. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I agree, man. And I think that's why both of us are so hard on Ben Simmons is just because we can see that he obviously has the talent, but he can never really put it together. And he's pretty much been the same player since he came in the league 4 or 5 years ago, which is a little alarming. I mean, I guess last year doesn't count because he sat out, but
which is still a pretty good player. I mean, let's not get twisted.
First team all defense, all star level player.
I didn't think he was good enough for Philly to be a championship contending team as the second best player. But if he's your third best, yeah, I can take that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Let's move on from the Brooklyn Nets, man. I think we've talked about him enough. Let's discuss the big trade, blockbuster trade. The Utah Jazz do it again. First, they traded Rudy Gobert and made KD trade and made the KD trade untradeable. Now, Danny Ainge said, we're not done. We're getting rid of Donovan Mitchell. He gets traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Lauri Markkanen and Colin Sexton, their rookie they just drafted in 3 first round picks. Holy shit. Utah like completely just brought out the tank, and I absolutely love it. we've been talking about them for the last few years about how they just need to blow it up. There's still some parts that hopefully I'm hoping the Lakers get, a la Jordan Clarkson. I would love if he was back. But what do you think of the trade? I mean, this is a massive trade. This shakes up the East and the West.
Yeah, I mean, so you definitely touched on why it's so great for the Jazz. They're doing exactly what they need to do. When they traded Gobert, okay, just trade Mitchell for as much picks and assets as possible.
Yep.
And this is what the market said. I mean, I guess they could have really tried to get the Knicks to give up all those picks and RJ Barrett. But once, you know, the Knicks put their foot down and paid RJ Barrett, it pretty much signaled that they were out. So
yeah. Poor Knicks fans.
You know, I think that's okay for the Knicks fans. I'm not trying to sound like a hater on Donovan Mitchell, but you don't want to. I mean, at least the Cavs, they're going to have some flaws. They're going to be talented, and a lot of people will be looking at them now because they have a marquee name, you know, someone who's exciting and like that with Donovan Mitchell. And they also have defensive bigs, like they can help cover for those small guards. But for the Knicks, yep. That would have been rough to just have a small backcourt with no kind of defensive help, especially mm-hmm. if they have traded RJ as well. They just have no wings, no bigs, other than Mitchell
Randall
Robinson.
Randall and Mitchell Robinson, yeah.
Yeah, so that is, and it's not anything like the Cavs, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. So I think, you know, I don't think Mitchell was necessarily a guy for the Knicks. I know the argument is like, just get a star, maybe get another one, and you can just kind of flip those guys. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if Donovan Mitchell was that good. What I'm trying to say,
man, I disagree. Like I really, really disagree. Actually, like I think Donovan Mitchell would have been great in New York. I feel like this is something that Stephen A. always says, but like when the Lakers and the Knicks are good, like the league is just better, and I totally agree. Like I would have loved for the Knicks to have been competitive. I would have loved for them to have, you know, seen what they could have done with Tom Thibodeau as the coach, with Randall and Brunson and Donovan Mitchell playing together. I think they would have been like a fun, hard-nosed basketball team to watch. But would they have won a championship? Would they have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals? Probably not. But I think, like you said, if you can get one star, I think that would have helped more people get to New York, which for some reason people just are avoiding. So that's my opinion.
And I get that. I'm not going to say I'm 100% just just think that was bad. I mean, that the Knicks or whatever, like Mitchell would have been whatever mm-hmm. on the Knicks. I get what you're saying. It's just I wouldn't have been that heartbroken if I was a Knicks fan. I'd just be like, you know, we didn't get them, but I wouldn't have been like tripping. You know what I'm saying? Like I just
got it.
I don't think it would have been the difference of them fighting for the play in to fighting for the sixth seed.
Maybe.
You know, would have made that much of a difference for them.
Maybe. I mean, but if you're a Knicks fan and your franchise has been terrible for 20 years, I mean, I think, you know, aside from that 1 year with Melo, I think they would have been happy to be in the playoffs again. But maybe not, maybe not. But anyway, let's talk about the team he actually went to. He actually went to the Cavs.
Well, yeah, okay. But I do like how this looks for the Cavs. They mm-hmm. have an all-star guard in Darius Garland. Like the aforementioned Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, front court, that are – so, you know, lengthy and great defensively. They yep. help cover for those small guards. And they didn't really have to give up much. I mean, I felt like they were a team that they made the play-in, didn't make it to the playoffs, even though they were, what, like a top three, top four seed for most of the year until they had a couple injuries.
Yeah.
So they clearly got some talent cooking there. It's just they need to keep growing. And a guy like Donovan Mitchell, I think it helped them take the next step. I think them making it to the sixth seed would be like a good season for them, you know, and then they could try to just hope that with internal growth, like Mobley getting better and better, they're hoping that he's like a Kevin Garnett type player or something, or like an Anthony Davis type player or something like that. Ultimately, if he actually reached that trajectory, then yeah, they'd be having something there. So they still, they need to try to get some wings. They have like no, like you're either 6'3", 6'4", and under, or you're 6'11". 7 foot. Exactly. Like no in between there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like almost what the Lakers got too. I hate it. And, you know, I get it. Wings are hard to come by. And I'm sure that's what they're going to be looking for going forward. Mm-hmm. They know that's a hole. But mm-hmm. I like their team. I think now a guy like Donovan Mitchell, is like I talked about, he's going to bring eyes to the Cleveland. I think they already have a roster. They already have the schedules out now. But it'd be a fun National League.
National TV games.
National TV games, yep.
Yeah, look, man, I really like this move for the Cavs. Like you said, they pretty much gave up, you know, two guys that sure, like, you know, they may be something in this league someday, but they're a few years away. Plus just picks to get a star. You know, I mean, a 30 point per game playoff scorer, a 25-plus point per game regular season score, which is something that they sorely needed, especially in the play-in game last year. So I think with, you know, if they can get healthy, if they can get healthy and have guys like Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love, like, you know, real vets that have done something in the league, I think like this Cavs team can be scary slick. I'm really happy to see, you know, what they can do. And I think this is a great move for Cleveland. I really do.
The thing is, though, they're kind of on the clock. Donovan Mitchell is pretty much letting everybody know he wants to be in New York. And he's got like 3 years left on his contract. So, yeah, they're young and snippy and they're growing, but they kind of need to take, you know, they need to take steps as the season go on. So not too much pressure now. And I'm sure they're like fans will be happy. It's kind of the NBA cycle anyway. It's like every 3 to 5 years, you're probably rebuilding because these contracts are so short now. Yeah, it is crazy. But yeah, when you draft a guy, he might become a star in year 3 or 4 and you sign him to a contract. You only got like 3 or 4 years before you'd ask for a trade.
Yeah. In Kevin Durant's case, you're going to ask for one now.
Right. So, like, your windows these days are so short. So that's kind of how it is. They got to start pushing to try to win.
So do you think – so I think you said, like, a 6 seed would be good for them this year. Honestly, I think their ceiling is higher.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, the East is loaded. I mean, both leagues are kind of loaded. Like, you don't really know what's going to happen until you play it out and guys start getting injured and attrition happens. But,
yeah,
I mean, this team has a lot of talent. But they clearly have a hole at the 3 and you know, at the 4 when one of their bigs plays the 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so – it's something they can just try to add on as the season goes on or hope some of these guys develop, but it's a good trade for them. Knicks fans, sorry. y'all been in the desert. I mean, I know, but not every bit of water is great. I mean, just keep walking until you get to the ocean, I guess, until you get to the lake.
What?
I don't know. That's a terrible analogy. They're in the desert. I was trying to say that Mitchell was not enough.
Oh, got it.
Cap space, because I think this seems to be ultimately what they're doing. They're just hoarding their picks, hoarding their cap space. They're eventually going to make a big move. But who's they going to be is tough, because nowadays these guys are under like these contracts needed. Like now they're getting traded because their contracts are so much money, and they can make so much money as a like signing extensions instead of like going as a free agent. Mm-hmm. This free agency market is tough, and they're trying to stash their assets for the big trade, and I get the vision. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the Knicks are just waiting for Zion, even though he just signed a 5-year, $200+ million deal, something like that. So,
Luka.
Not sure. Oh my God! What if Luka went to Madison, bro? Luka would be the most famous nigga in the world, bro.
I'm telling, like, I don't know if Mad fans know that he's on the clock. Give him a couple years. He's gonna ask for a trade if they keep messing around. Like, they got to make some moves.
Yeah,
I don't think Christian Wood is enough, brother.
Let's talk about the LA Lakers, man. You know, since we last spoke, Russell Westbrook is still on our team. And now we just signed 2 more point guards. Let's talk about Pat Beverly first. We saw Patrick Beverly. You know, I made the playoffs last year. They didn't, so they got to learn from me, Patrick Beverly. What do you think of the signing?
I mean, I love the signing. It's a great move. He's exactly the type of guy that fits well with LeBron and AD. Similar type of mold of the type of guys we had that when we won the championship, the Alex Caruso's, KCP types, you know, 3 and D, D and 3. He brings that attitude, that hustle. Their heart that, you know, helps inspire teammates to play hard. So,
yeah,
he's the type of guy we could have really used last year when, you know, we had all these vets that didn't want to set a pick, didn't want to, you know, do the little things. So it's the type of guys you need, like the Pat Bevelers. So I've always loved this game, even though he's one of those guys that you don't really like when he's on the other team because he's such an asshole. But now he's our asshole. Pause.
I agree. I love this signing. Pat Bev got that dog in him. And that's all I care about. I know that he's going to give us 100% every time he steps on the court. But the most important thing about Pat Bev is that he knows his strengths and his weaknesses. So he's not going to shoot more than like 7 or 8 times a game. He's going to play 94 feet, great defense on every perimeter player, which I love. He's going to get our guys fired up, and he's going to make them want to compete. So I totally agree. He would have been great for us last year, but I'm happy that he's with us now. I think this is a great signing. This other one, though, I'm not 100% sure about. Dennis Schroeder, he's back on a minimum deal when he turned down, what, $80 million, or was it from us? Man, what's your reaction?
What a L. Man, I'll take it. I mean, I'll take the talent. He's not a bad player, especially for what we signed him for.
Right.
I was not trying to sign him for, what, 4 years, $84 million.
Yeah,
but in hindsight, I would have rather that than Westbrook. But now we got him for even cheaper. Which, by the way, we still have Russell Westbrook. Where are we getting all these point guards? What's going on? Are we trading this pool or what?
Why would they do that?
Why?
That is the question. Yeah.
I guess we're just going to try and see what's going to happen. Even though that's despite Pat Bev and Russell Westbrook being like mortal enemies, as well. Now they're acting like they're boys, so whatever. But
they are trying so hard for the camera, and it's so fucking weird. Like,
you got to. I mean, technically they're still teammates. I mean, they are teammates. So let's try at least to be cool before training camp. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll see how this plays out. I don't really see. I mean, we know Westbrook, LeBron don't work. Westbrook, LeBron, and AD is not that great together. So we got Pat Bev. We know that'd be a great fit. We know Schroeder was a decent fit. What do we – I mean, we got Austin Reeves who can play. We got Kendrick Nunn, apparently. We'll see. we got all these other guys who are way better fits, all these other guards. So where is Westbrook – what is he even playing? Like, is he restarting him? Is he coming off the bench? Is he going to be cool coming off the bench? Okay.
He's going to start.
Are we sending him home? What are we doing?
I think this is going to work out exactly like the KD situation in Brooklyn. I think right now we're just on a ticking time bomb. And by the trade deadline, once they prove to everybody else again that it won't work, the Lakers are going to trade this guy. Like, I think that we're going to be left with no option because I'm going to reiterate this again. We saw it last year, so maybe they can try something like, you know, maybe with that knowledge they can say, hey, this just didn't work, so let's try something completely different. So, you know, maybe that's the approach they'll take. Probably not, but maybe it is. And then once they realize that even that won't work and that Russell Westbrook is the issue, I mean, at least with LeBron, then, you know, we'll get him out of here. But I think guys like Pat Bev and Dennis Schroeder are just insurance, just to make sure that we have somebody.
Yeah, point exactly. Guard spot. I kind of love that. I love having that insurance just in case. It kind of just, yeah, in case Westbrook just as terrible as we know he's going to be.
Yeah.
Just confirm it. And I'm just like, okay, look, we tried.
We tried.
And it sounds like there's options out there. It sounds like there's trades out there. We just don't want to trade our picks. So, you know, eventually, I guess we're going to have to push the button. Hopefully that's still out there, or maybe something be better. We're talking about the Indiana trade, or the Jazz would love to have picks. I mean, we know this for sure. The Jazz will take picks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what do you think is holding the Lakers back? Like, do you think it's LeBron? Like, I mean, I have to believe at this point that LeBron is literally going to Rob, and he's like, don't do it, not yet. Like, give us a chance, because they only played 11 games together last year. So maybe LeBron is delusional. He thinks that it can work.
I don't know, bro. Like, this is the most vexing Lakers summer I can remember. This is like the most obvious thing. We have to trade this guy. Like, so I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, we still got time. Maybe they're going to pull something off, but at this point, you can't really hold your breath. So,
yeah.
Maybe they just know that the offers aren't going to get any better. I mean, are going to get any worse as the season goes on. Mm-hmm. There's a chance things could be better. Maybe the offer could be better. Maybe other guys could look better and they could be have more trade value or something, I don't know, than what they have now. And yeah, maybe they just gonna play it out and just they feel like, what's the point in doing all that now? They might as well just, if they have the button to press, that'll still be there. Look, I'm trying to rationalize because, like I said, I don't understand. But it sounds like they just they're you know, you're a poker player, or they just hold their cards and they just just trying to hang in there, just trying to hang in there until the trade deadline, where they gotta either fold and make the trade, or you know, maybe they feel like something could happen. I don't know.
So I'm going to ask you another would you be surprised question. Would you be surprised if Russell Westbrook came out and let's say he was our best playmaker, not LeBron. Let's say LeBron is taking more of a scoring lead and he's letting Russell Westbrook be more of a playmaker. And it works. Like let's say for whatever reason, like those 11 games last year were just irregular, in that now it works. Like, what do you think it would take to make it work between those three guys?
I mean, Westbrook has to become he has to be a threat from the outside. He has to, like, in the corners or something, he has to be able to make a shot. Mm-hmm. So maybe he works on his set shot, or instead of jumping at the top of his jump, or, you know, coming down from his jump, trying to shoot like he does, hitting the side of the backboard. Maybe he could just shoot like a set shot, like, cause we've seen him do it, but he doesn't actually shoot like that in the game. So right. Maybe he could, so, you know, maybe just a set shot open percentage, he could be passable. And Anthony Davis is going to have to be able to shoot better as well. He's going to have to. He last year, he couldn't make even his mid-range shots. Not even talk, like, he couldn't even make it. Definitely not his threes, but his mid-range is down. His free throw percentage has been down the last couple of years. So he's got to get that back up. Back to 85% free throw shooting like he was last couple years, 2020 and before. And he has to get his mid-range back to his baseline, you know, where he's a threat. His three needs to be a threat. Like, he just has to be a threat from outside. He can't just be the worst shooter in the league like he was last year. That was tough. You know. So if those two factors can normalize a little bit better, become to those guys at least being threats from outside, then they can maybe make it work to just let their talent take over. But if they're just broke brick, then depending on role players to make shots, that's more sketchy, because I don't know if we really have great shooting still on this team. It's more, at least we have more athleticism. We have a little bit more hustle and defense. But we still don't have great shooters, so.
Yeah, I agree, which is why it won't work. Jeannie, I know you're listening. Rob, I know you're listening, bro. It ain't gonna happen. Get Russell Westbrook out of here, please. Hopefully, as we speak, they're working on a deal.
I don't see any reason why we would have him, because we have – I know LeBron doesn't want to do all of the playmaking anymore. I get it. But we got, like, four point guards now. We got Pat Bev, Schroeder, none. Lonnie Walker could play make a little bit, so we got guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, get Westbrook out of here, man. Just do the Indiana trade. Get Buddy Hill and Miles Turner, and let's just rock with it. And we'll figure something out. We still could use some more wings, but we got all these guards. We'll see who can pop, and we can maybe trade some guys or something.
Let's dream for a second. Let's say that trade does happen, and we do get Buddy Hill and Miles Turner. I think the Lakers would be championship contenders right off the bat.
It still depends on AD being healthy and being back to how he's supposed to be. But yeah.
Right.
The formula for where I could see something working there. Yes.
Yeah.
Contenders.
I mean, obviously,
I'm not trying to say we'd be number one or be the best, but I could see us being contenders and nobody want to see us in the playoffs. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, with somebody like Miles Turner, that I think has been a little underrated in Indiana. He's, like, statistically one of the best shot blockers of all time. And he's expanded his game to that 3-point range now. And Buddy Hield is another nigga that can just shoot the ball. So somebody to play with LeBron, like, just imagine running out Pat Bev, Buddy Hield, LeBron, AD, and Miles Turner. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Crazy five. I would love it. But, you know, that's just dreamland until it actually happens. Genie.
Do it, please. What do y'all wake up, please? I'm dying here. You know, Lakers fans, we live off this, live and die off this. Come on, man, stop.
Man, I just want to touch on one last subject, man, before we get out of here, man. The NBA Christmas Day games, the schedule released earlier in October, in September. The Christmas Day games, man, it's always a great day to watch basketball. Five games starting at noon Eastern. First game we have on the list is the Philadelphia 76ers at, you guessed it, folks, the New York Knicks. The Knicks always get a home game just because they play in Madison Square Garden. What are your thoughts on this game? Are you going to be tuning in?
Ooh. the first was tough, man, because that'd be the, you know, that's where we eat and got family time. You know, I don't think they made for people to watch the first couple games. It's just something on, you know, just so you could give people the excuse to watch the later games. It's like, look, I sacrificed these games. Mm-hmm. This is the one that you sacrifice. This is, you're telling your loved one and your family, hey, you know, I could be watching NBA with y'all, but I'm here hanging out.
Yeah, this will probably be the least interesting of the five games, but I'm still going to be watching as soon as it comes out. I can't wait. But that's just because, I mean, I'm a fan of Joel Embiid, and I love to see him troll, especially in the Garden. So,
I think the Sixers are going to have a great year. So, I think people are almost going to be hoping for Embiid to have another great year and be MVP, you know, contender again. It's almost feels like his year if he could have a similar year.
I agree, man. Next game, our LA Lakers, who we don't know who's going to be on the team, versus the Dallas Mavericks. Depending on how our roster is, we may get blown out. The Mavericks are going to be a problem. That's just my personal opinion. But, you know, the Lakers could be a problem, too. What do you think?
For some reason, our games are always great, Mavs and
yeah.
Lakers. LeBron versus Luka, they love to put on a show. So it can go either way. Didn't we just play them last year on Christmas, even though we were terrible?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Or either last year or the year before. But, man, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be tuning in. Will this will be in Dallas, right?
Yeah, this is the 2:30 game.
Okay. So this will be the first time Lakers haven't been at home in a while.
Right. Well, they got to win for that. Bucks and the Celtics, the 5:00 game. This game is going to be nuts. Everybody healthy. This is what the Eastern Conference Finals should have been. This is going to be a big game, man. I think both of these teams are, you know, have each other circled on the calendar. I think, you know, both of them are kind of looking at each other as, hey, we're the best team in the East. You know, we're the best team in the East. What do you think?
Absolutely. And probably perhaps the best two players in the East. How you feel about that, KD?
Stop.
But yeah, this would be great. I'll be surprised if it's Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I agree. And then at 8:00, the game of the night. The game of the night. Memphis Grizzlies whoop that trick against Draymond Green and the Golden State Warriors. So much bad blood. I love it. I mean, it's not real bad blood. Like, obviously, they're all like friends on Twitter and stuff, or in real life, but Draymond Green and Ja Morant literally was going back and forth about this before the schedule got announced. And it was like, we're going to play y'all. You know, y'all got to come to us on Christmas. We the champs, da, 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 da. And then the schedule makers was like, okay, sure, let's pencil it in. So I hope that this is a battle. I hope that both of the teams play hard. I hope nobody's hurt. Like, I want to see balls to the wall. Like, I want to see playoff intensity on this game. Like, I'm very excited for this one.
Yeah, this would be good, man. It's kind of funny. You think the Warriors would be like, these guys are beneath us. Like, we're multiple time champions and kings of the West, blah, blah, blah. You know, kings of the league, blah, blah, blah. Like, these little scrappy Grizzlies. But they love to play into it. It'd be even more fire if it was in Memphis. But
it would be.
It'd be in San Francisco. They'll be chilling. It'd be a 2:00 game for them. 5:00. Right after lunch. 5:00 Eastern, 2:00
this is 8 Eastern, right?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay, well, take that back. But either way, there'll be probably more of a relaxed crowd is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If it was in Memphis, it'd be more rowdy. They'd be definitely doing some whoop dead trick in there. But this would be a good one for sure.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Warriors are up to it and they're not just resting guys and chilling. And
right. Just cruising through the season, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not. hopefully Clay's firing out, you know, firing all cylinders. James Wiseman looking dominant. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Now, last game of the night, the Phoenix Suns, the owner that loves to say nigger, and the Denver Nuggets.
Surprised you don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, how has Chris Paul had two straight owners that have just been like super racist? That's kind of crazy.
This will be a fun matchup, but hopefully Jamal Murray be healthy and Michael Porter healthy. And
yeah,
the Suns, man, they kind of got a weird kind of dark cloud over them. I'd be interested to see how these guys come out and play this year after choking so hard in the playoffs last year. Now they're found out their owner is a wild boy, which they all kind of probably already knew because he probably was walking around naked and calling niggers and saying wild stuff already. So, it's interesting times in Phoenix. Do you have anything more to say about the game? Did you want to talk about the incident at all? I mean, what's going to happen there?
Yeah, the only reason I didn't bring it up is because I'm not 100% briefed on it. I just know that he was saying some racist shit. But, like, I don't know the ins and outs of it.
Gotcha. Do you? Yeah. Not 100% either. I mean, obviously, I've been keeping up with the fallout, how the players, they really do not commit. So, I guess we could backtrack. So, the Phoenix Suns owner, Robert Sarver, he's been under investigation for at least a year or so. A whole bunch of employees and people that have been affiliated with the team have been cooperating with this investigation and giving their accounts. And it's been a whole bunch of wild stuff, like stuff that he could have really been sued for like multiple times, like a lot of sexual harassment, saying wild stuff around women. I think he might have even touched women and men inappropriately. He's known to like walk around with his balls slinging out in the locker room and in the offices and stuff and just saying
what?
Like, yeah, he was basically just like doing the most wild stuff and just acting. You should read it up. You should read some of this stuff. I've only read a couple of it. And like, you know, listen to some podcasts, heard the reactions. But he was just being absolutely out of his mind for like the last, I guess, 10 plus years since he owned the team. And so all of this came out, and after the NBA's investigation, they decided to suspend him a year and fine him $10 million. And there probably might be other things, but those are like the highlights. A lot of advocates and people in the media and players have just came out and have not been happy with that. Like they really wanted him to be banned, you know, to lose his team, be forced to sell his team, and be fined more money. But Adam Silver is kind of just like, look, man, ultimately, you know, there's only so much I can do. I can't make the guy lose his team unless the owners vote for that. They vote him out.
Yeah.
And there has to be, I guess that could have been maybe a grounds for it. But basically, he was just trying to filibuster and said, look, man, there's only so much I can do.
Sure.
So there's a lot of pressure, I guess, coming up from, you know, like I said, advocates, NCAAP, a whole bunch of left wing organizations and players union. They really want harsher penalties. So they're trying to actually, put pressure on owners to try to get him to sell. So we'll see what happens.
Wow, that's crazy.
But yeah, anybody listen to this? Yeah, just kind of read up on some of the stuff, the wild stuff he was doing and saying. Robert Sarver.
Well, interesting to end on that note, but here we are. Shout out to the Suns, man. Shout out to Chris Paul. Two straight owners just niggering it up over here. You've got to get it together. What's going on?
You brand in Chris Paul for it?
I was like... Oh, man. Hey, look, man, thanks so much, man. Next time we talk to the Lakers, we'll have traded Russell Westbrook. We're going to do an hour-long pod just on that. So appreciate it.
Can't wait.
I know, right?